as we open up, let's start with some prayer. Father, we are thanking you in the name of Jesus. We are thanking you for your son, thanking you for what he's done. We're looking to you with our entire heart and our minds cleared and focused on you. And Father, I pray this morning as we partake of your word now, as we just entreat it into our lives, that you will quicken it, make it alive, make it stand out, make certain things just really come alive to us, that it helps bring about life change on the inside, Lord, that we walk out of here a little bit different than we came in, that we enjoy your presence, we enjoy your company, but we know that you're at work alive and well, living and breathing right in and through us, Father. We're praising you for it. Thank you for your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to start out with a definition. Obviously, I put a title up called Only Believe, and you'll see why in a few minutes. It has a lot to do with a particular scripture. But that word believe is one that it stood out to me when Jesus says only and then follows it with the word. I wanted to know what that word meant, right? I want to know, what did he mean when he said only believe? Okay, so I looked it up, and in the Greek, it has a definition. It's pisteuo in the Greek. And it comes from the basis of the word pistis, which is faith. Okay, and that kind of makes sense that believe and faith would have a lot to do with each other, right? Jesus says, only believe. Okay, well, to believe means to have a continual faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing. Okay, and it implies deep-rooted trust, okay, a deep-rooted commitment. To believe means that you put your trust all in, without reservation and without the possibility of reversal. Okay, think about that. You believe and you do not change. You don't alter or undo what you believe because of what you see or don't see. That's true believing. Okay, you're not going to change what you believe because of a circumstance changing. Has anybody ever heard of called a trust fall? Anybody hear a trust fall? My kids know all about trust falls. Okay, they hang out with their friends, and they're getting a little heavier now, so they don't do it so much. But it's where somebody stands and they sort of lock their legs and they just fall straight backwards into the arms of their friend. Okay, and so in my house, the kids would walk by with their friends, and all of a sudden you'd hear, you know, Aiden, trust fall, and Aiden would fall like a tower into their arms, right? And so they would do this over and over again. I went to a leadership training many years ago, and as part of one of the activities, we had to do a trust fall into the arms of the other members on our team, okay, and we had to believe or that they were going to catch us, okay. Well, this morning, I want to kind of point out a little bit of the difference between believing something and having faith for something, because faith and believing are definitely together. They come from the same root word in the Greek, but there's a little bit of a difference, and that's what I want to point out, and this trust fall gives a good ability to use it for an example. You are, in that case, when I was at this leadership training and had to fall back into my team's arms, your faith in your team is what would prompt you to willingly participate in that activity. I had faith enough in them that they're going to catch me. But believing that they will catch you is what you show you're committed to when you're at about a 45-degree angle to the ground. Okay, that is when you're so committed to them catching you that there's literally no way to stop it. You are that involved. You are that committed to it. Because at that point, you can't stand yourself back up. You're committed. So at that point, it goes from, I have faith in my team that I am believing. Okay, I am past the point of return. I am now believing that they are going to catch me. Okay, at that point, you are all in. Okay, there is no return. God has called us to go all in, okay, with him. To get to that point of I call it a trust fall kind of relationship with God, where we are so far into him that we're depending on him, trusting in him, committed to him in every single area of our life. Okay, it is about getting to a point in life that a trust fall commitment is like you're at that point where no matter what the circumstance is, it is not going to alter your faith and your belief in him. Okay, that means we're dependent on him. So deep in our trust, so deep in our commitment that there's literally no return. Okay, now believing, I said, it's a little bit different from faith because believing goes beyond what faith initiates. Okay, believing, well, let me start with faith. Faith is like the initial stage of believing. Okay, faith is the initial stage of believing. Faith is, the Bible calls it, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what is involved when you go to God in prayer. Okay, you're believing in something you've never seen. You're believing in the Almighty. You approach God by faith, right? It's something you've never seen. You're anticipating that He is hearing and listening. Believing, on the other hand, is what endures unto the end. Okay, faith is what initiates that conversation, but believing is what goes the miles. Okay, believing is the constant. Okay, it's the continual trust that what you prayed for is coming or has come to pass. Okay, that's where you engage that faith over and over on a moment by moment, second by simple, second example. Second by second. Let me get my words together. Let me just do this. Let's look at a Bible example, because I want to show you what this is like in the Scriptures. Open your book, if you have one, your Bible, to Mark chapter 5. If not, we'll put some Scriptures up on the screen for you. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21, gives a story of Jesus, and we're going to read about two different people in faith and believing, and how it comes to pass in their conversations. In Mark 5:21, it says, "When Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side of the lake, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." Okay, now this is a story about a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus that comes to Jesus, and he's going to make a request. His daughter is sick to the point of dying. And he's going to come to Jesus because his faith is in Jesus. He believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He believes that Jesus is the ability, or has the ability and the fully capable of doing what he is about to request of him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have went to Jesus. So his faith is what began that. In verse 23, the next one after this, it says that in Jairus besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Okay, Jairus believed that about Jesus, that if you just lay your hands on her, she is going to be healed. He was fully convinced of that. That's why he went to him in faith. But it wasn't just a quick request, and then he walked away. Okay, I want you to see this in the Scriptures. He made his request known to Jesus, and then he literally went side by side with Jesus to see it carried out. Okay, he didn't just make the request, walk away. He made the request. Jesus said, "I will." We'll read that in a minute. And then he begins to just go with Jesus. Mark 5:24, the next verse, says, "And Jesus went with him, and much other people followed him, and they thronged him." Okay, the act of Jairus and Jesus going together to complete the request is very symbolic. Okay, so often we just want to turn things over to God, okay, and then try not to think about it anymore. You ever done that? Because you know you'll think the wrong stuff. And so you pray about something and you're like, "Oh, I really need this, and God," and you're talking to Him, and then you just try not to think about it because you don't want to start thinking wrong thoughts, or, you know, you try not to see somebody that might speak negative over it or whatever, and you just kind of avoid that. Okay, well, when you believe, like I'm talking about, it goes beyond that initial faith. You had faith to go to God. But when you believe, you can still think about it, and you can even speak about it. But when you do, you're going to do it in a way that confirms what you believe. Okay, that is part of belief. It's adding to or continuing on with that same initial faith, and you're following it through until you see it come to pass. Jairus believed that if Jesus came over to his house and Jesus laid his hands on his daughter, that she would be healed. He believed that. His intention was to stick with Jesus and to adhere to his belief in his daughter's healing until he saw it come to pass. Okay, he was going to stick with it all the way to the end. But just like the devil does with us sometimes, he tries to throw a wrench into things and cause Jairus to stumble a little bit in his faith. He tries to get Jairus to doubt and to fall into unbelief. Anybody remember, we've read the scripture many times about the man that came to Jesus and said, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Okay? Think of that, because that's a big part of what we're talking about. But the devil came in and tries to throw a wrench into things to get Jairus to doubt. Okay? You know that if you made a request like that and your daughter is very, very sick and you wanted Jesus to come over and heal her, you would, like Jairus, want to just go right over there. "Let's just march over there right now, Jesus, and get this done." But it didn't quite happen that way, because they start out, they're going that direction, they're on their way to Jairus' house, but somebody else comes into the picture and they too believed that Jesus could heal them if they could just touch the hem of his garment. Okay? And so that whole scenario, that whole scene plays out on the way to Jairus' house. And so now he's like, you're stopping talking to this woman? What are you doing? And Jairus is wanting to continue on. You can just imagine that in your mind. Okay? Well, Jesus stops, takes the time to help this other woman as well, because that's Jesus. Okay, let's read on. Verse 25, after this, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who toucheth me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was just done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Jesus told her that faith, her faith, had made her whole. Okay, that word faith, if you look it up, okay, in the Greek right there, it's that word pistis. It's where pistiu comes from, where believing comes from. But it also means persuasion, assurance, and moral conviction combined with a constancy in such profession. Okay, that's the difference in that word faith in that particular place in the Bible. It meant that it came with a constancy in such profession, that she didn't just say it once, believe it for a little bit, but she continued on believing. Okay, that word constancy, or that constancy in such profession, was her deep-rooted belief. It meant that she not only went to him, but she thoroughly believed unto the end. She saw it, but she was also going to walk away believing that same thing. There was, in her mind, no other solution. She had been to all the doctors, she had spent all her money, and gotten worse. There was no other answer for her. So she goes to Jesus, believing. This is it. End all. This is the solution. Jesus was the answer to her sickness. She fully believed that. You know, so often in our life, we like to go to Jesus. Okay, maybe we make our requests known unto him. But at the same time, we're still harboring doubts in our mind in the form of possible other outcomes. Sometimes we pray, and even while we're in mid-sentence, we're still thinking of, if this doesn't work, I'll just do this. We go to God in prayer thinking that, you know what, if this doesn't work, I'm just going to have to go to the doctor. Or we pray about a job. We pray about a relationship. We pray about something to do with our finances. But even in mid-prayer sometimes, we're still contemplating the other options. We pray for salvation for a loved one. And in the back of our mind, we're pretty convinced that they're just too far gone. In the back of our mind, we're just hoping that they don't have to spend an eternity in hell. So we're praying for what we know is the answer for them, but at the same time, we're anticipating it might not come to pass. We're going through the motions of prayer. okay, which is engaging, okay, that is engaging with the Lord, that is an act of engaging our faith, but then we allow the fears, we allow doubts to keep us from being fully persuaded, okay, fully persuaded. Listen to what Jesus said to Jairus, that ruler of the synagogue. He came to Jesus in faith, he's believing his daughter's going to be healed, but the situation changes a little bit, and listen to what he says. We'll go back to Mark 5:35, the very next verse. While he yet spake, and he was just speaking to the woman, telling her, thy faith has made you whole, go and be free of this plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he says unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Okay, Jesus knew that this man had come to him in faith. And Jesus had already begun to act on his request. He was en route to that ruler's house to heal his daughter of whatever sickness she had. Didn't matter to Jesus. Simply because the man had come and asked him in faith. That's why when Jesus heard this negative report from the ruler's servant, that he immediately turns to that ruler and says, be not afraid. Okay, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't doubt. Maintain your consistency in the faith that you came to me with and only believe. In other words, add that to your initial faith, add that belief that says you're not turning back yet. You're not turning back ever. You're not going to give up. You're not going to quit. You're going to keep going and believing until you see this come to pass. Jesus' intention was to keep that man's focus on him as the solution. Because at that point, the man started thinking death, I guess, was an option. But in Jesus' mind, Jesus is turning him back saying, no, keep your focus on me, because even death is not an option when you're dealing with me. It's not the end all. Okay? He said that his daughter was going to be healed, and that is exactly what would happen. Okay? Immediately after telling the man not to be afraid, but to only believe, Jesus does what is often necessary in our own lives. He put out the doubt. Okay? Got rid of the naysayers, and says, I'm surrounding myself with believers, people that have that long, deep-rooted faith, that commitment, that are past the 45-degree angle. I'm surrounding myself with these kind of people, and we are going to heal that girl. Okay? Jesus did what we should do in our lives. He removes the sources of the negative reports and the naysaying. In some ways, you could say, he turns the news off. Okay, let that sink in for a minute. He turns the news off. He cuts out the people that say the opposite of the truth. And he encourages the constant trust and belief in the power of God. He surrounds himself with belief. Okay, if we read on, Mark 5:37. Jesus suffered no man to follow except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They were believers. They were past 45 degrees. And he comes in the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees the tumult, and them that are weeping, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he says to them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed at him, laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he takes the father, who we knew believed, because he's the one that came to Jesus. He takes the mother, who probably sent the father, right? Okay, and he takes those two and those that were with him, meaning the other guys that believe, and he enters in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha kumai, which being interpreted is damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. See, when you only believe, you will receive what you are praying for. Because God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Anybody know? God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is the author of peace. Okay, not of confusion. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. When you are fully persuaded that there is only one possible option, there's no confusion. There's no doubt. There's no wishy-washiness in my thought process, my belief, my words coming out of my mouth. There's only one possible solution, and that is what Jesus Christ is going to fulfill what I just requested, because He loves me, He cares for me, and He's going to do it based on that. Okay? When you only believe, you will receive what you're praying for. You're not confused about what the end result's going to be. There's no maybe it'll turn out this way, maybe it'll turn out that way. You believe, meaning I know how it's going to turn out. When Jesus spoke, some of you remember that story, when He spoke to the fig tree and it withered up and died right away. Okay, the disciples that were around were a little bit astonished at that. They marveled at it. They were puzzled. Because in their minds, for the tree to continue on living was still an option. They didn't fully understand what Jesus meant when He said, "Thou shalt bear no fruit on thee hereafter forever." Jesus knew exactly what He meant when He said that. That's why He turns to the disciples and He tells them this in Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, His disciples, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." All things soever you shall ask in prayer, believing. Okay? Putting aside all other answers, all other solutions, there's no other answer than that one thing that I've just requested. Putting that out and saying, what you believe for, you are going to receive. When you see God as Almighty God, when you see Him as all-powerful, when you see Him as all-knowing and all-capable, all-able, when you see Him as being willing to bring your request to fruition, you can and will pray with expectancy. You pray anticipating that answer is on its way. You not only go to Him in faith, but you truly believe until you receive. All other options are out of the picture. Some of you remember the psalmist David. He said this in Psalm 27:13. He said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Okay, the heading on a lot of Bibles I know in my Bible it had it, many of the other ones I looked up did as well. In Psalm 27, the heading of that in many Bibles says, it is going to describe in the next few verses how David sustains his faith by the power of God. Okay, David said that he would have fainted unless he had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It wasn't a superficial faith that he was maintaining. It wasn't a superficial faith that got him through the ups and the downs of life. It was a steadfast, ongoing conviction that God is God and that he could serve Him and that the Lord would provide for his needs. You know, there was another man that came to Jesus as well. So I don't have time to get into it all this morning. But another one came to him desiring for his son to be healed of tormenting spirits. He had tried. He went to the disciples. The disciples couldn't do it. He knew Jesus could do it. He had no doubt in his mind. He went to Jesus and he asked him about healing his daughter, his son. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. It is believing that unlocks the impossible. Whenever we see in the scriptures where Jesus tells people to only believe, whenever we see him say something like we just read, that if you can believe, all things are possible, there's always one common denominator in the people that came to him. Jesus was the answer. There was not a maybe. There was not a, "I'll try this." There was, Jesus is the answer. He's the solution. He is the one way. And I'm going to that answer right now. They didn't have any other options on the table. They didn't have a backup plan. They didn't have a step two. They had one, and it was go to Jesus, because Jesus is that answer. You know, I want to encourage you this morning to put the doubt out. Okay, only believe. Okay, get rid of the stuff. If there's that negative influence in your life, you're not able to fully stand on the Word of God or to believe because of all the other negative stuff that's coming in trying to pull you in a different direction, start putting the doubt out. Do like Jesus did. He literally put people out of the room. Sorry, you naysayers. You go wait over there. Okay? You can keep crying if you want to. Go do your stuff. Me and the guys that believe are going into the room. We're going to heal this lady. Okay? That's Jesus. Okay? And if we got to put the doubt out, sometimes we need to do that. We need to be not afraid. We need to fear not. Be not dismayed. Be not discouraged. Doubt not. Put your trust all in your Savior. Okay, live your life at that point of the trustful kind of faith, where you're beyond just trying. You're beyond just a little bit. You are so committed that there's no return for you. Believe to the point that you cannot return, that you cannot go in any other direction. It has to be Jesus. Some of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. You've had areas in your life and you didn't know anything else. You tried everything, nothing else worked, and you got to the point you're just on your knees. You're at trustful faith at that moment. That's where you say, God, I've tried everything, nothing else works. Sorry it took so long to get here, but here I am. Okay? And you just turn it over to Him at that moment. And that kind of faith, you've got no other backup plan. You're going to trust Him all the way through to the end because you've got no choice. And He always comes through. He always does it at that moment. He is faithful. God is powerful. Okay? He is loving. He's kind. He's generous. He's willing and able to do these things for you. He will accomplish your prayers when you pray and only believe. Amen. Amen. Father, we are praising You this morning as our Savior. We praise You as the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the One who has done all that needed to be done for us, Lord. We trust You all the way, Lord. We yield ourselves to You, Your powerful Holy Spirit, Your guidance in our life. We allow You to take us deeper than we've ever been with You. We allow You, Lord, to lead and guide us and bring us to that point, Lord, where we say, there is no other option. You're it. Father, we trust You this morning. We yield ourselves to You with a commitment that says, no matter what other options are available, I'm going to start going to You first. Father, we trust You this morning. We're grateful that Your power, Your presence is available here and living inside of us, leading, showing, revealing, just helping us anticipate what's coming, Lord. And I thank You for leading up to an expectation in our hearts and minds for You and what You are capable of, what You are doing in our life and the lives of the people around us, Lord. Set us up for success, Lord, as we lean on You, we trust in You, and we yield to You. In Jesus' name we say, Amen.